So, welcome everybody to the second night of Narsimha. So tonight what I'm going to focus on is the adventures and the wild, crazy realizations and adventures on my researching the first book. So, can everybody see the TV nicely? Everybody's happy? You guys, can you see? It's okay? All right, fantastic. Yeah, I'll put it on. Well, once I do that, it starts moving, so I have to...
You can do that and then right-click and then stop, so it will not move.
Anymore. I've never used a Windows. You want to help me? I'm a Mac man. I've never used the Windows. So, you know, everybody... Oh, that's so cool.
And then you do pause. It will not move anymore.
And then I just go...
You just go with arrows.
So cool. Thank you so much. Oh, my Lord. So, you know, when I first started on the journey, it was very wild. I didn't mention much, but there was... finding his temples was not easy. They're always in some jungle, on top of a mountain, in a cave, filled with bats or snakes or monkeys or... we were in a tunnel. Oh my God, what's going on? Oh, okay. It's alive. So, when I was young, it was a lot, you know, easier to do these types of things. And some temples I would show up, one particular temple I showed up and the Brahmin had just walked down from the mountain. And I said, "Where's Narsimha?" And he said, "Up there." I said, you take me? No way. It's nap time. Brahmins like to nap a lot. So I went up to this, I was walking up the mountain, and there was no monkeys, no animals anywhere. And when I got to the top, there was a plateau, a flat area with a cliff. And then there was just a door, like a cave, and a huge banyan tree growing over. And when I came close to the cave, a black cobra came out, like a spectacle. You can't die from being bitten from them, but you can suffer. Big one, you know? And he came at the doorway and he was like, "You're not coming in here." And then behind me, I heard this dun, 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 dun. And I turned around, there was all these monkeys. They weren't there. So either they came from above the cliff, and they were really rowdy. I don't know if you've been to Vrindavan, these horrible, evil monkeys that should be exterminated, in my opinion. But they say they're whatever Dambasis, but I don't fall for that. So these monkeys were like that, but they were the langur monkeys, bigger. And they're huge. They can one slap your... And they started getting really angry that I was there and coming at me. And then I was like, do I run into the monkeys or run into the tunnel with the snake? I was trying to weigh my options. And then I turned around and I saw the cobra was gone. And I said, "Okay, I'll do it." And the monkeys started charging and I kind of dove in the tunnel. And there was no cobra. And the monkeys became peaceful. They just sat there like, "He's gone now. He's finished." And it was a long tunnel. I had to kind of crawl and it got thin. And then I had a small flashlight. And then it opened up into a huge cavern. Maybe you have these types of things here. And in the caverns, there's like I forget what they're called. Really, yeah, there's like a water pond. And then all of a sudden, I felt like I was being watched. And I looked on the wall and there was this like Lakshmi Narsimha relief idol on the wall. And then in the corner, there was this huge relief of a gigantic white cobra. And I'm in there alone. And I was like shocked because I was searching everywhere for the cobra. But then here's this Swayambhu of Lakshmi Narasimha on the cave wall. And I was in there for a while, and as the sun hit a particular part of the cave, and there was like a little hole, something in the top gave a little light. But at that time in the day, it became like a beam of light, and right on Lakshmi Narasimha's feet, like, and I was just awestruck, and I had an old video camera. I don't know if you remember, if you're from the 90s, the video cameras were like, now they're nothing, they're iPhones, but before, they had these big tapes. So I'm struggling, putting out the old tape, putting in a new tape, trying to catch this beam of light, which I did, and did my pujas and prayers, and then I started going out looking for this cobra everywhere, and I look out, there's no monkeys. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to take off. So I get out, and as soon as I get out of the cave, the monkeys start jumping back down. And they get really angry. So I'm like, oh, I should go back in the cave. And then I turn around, and the cobra's coming down the tunnel to the front. So he must have gone back to be with Narasimha. And then I'm like, so I just book it to the stairs. And they start chasing me. I'm thinking, these guys are going to kill me. That's it. My last darshan. And then right when I get to the stairs, they stop. And then they start picking the nits out and eating them like nothing happened. He's gone. And they just acted like I wasn't even there. And then I went down, and the Brahmin, I woke him up. I said, and he was like, darshan? I said, huh? I said, but monkeys. And he was like, monkey? What are you talking about? I said, there's monkeys. No monkeys. And I was like, this dude's crazy. I thought I was imagining things. I hadn't eaten for many, many days, but I knew I wasn't that tired. And that was a unique experience. So along the way, it was like that. Every single day was nonstop. And I was on these buses for hours, 10 hours, 15 hours. And so I was chanting, you know, hundreds of rounds, or I got into this Narasimha Kavacha. And it was just like this, because you're on a bus, what can you do? I mean, here it's beautiful, and the buses are calm and air-conditioned and heated. And yeah, that was not the case in India. You know, there was chickens, goats, and people. So I would just chant on my Narasimha Kavacha, and I had these lawnmower earmuffs. And a good friend of mine in Vrindavan would bring them, and he would do kirtan with these muffs on. So I begged him when I visited, can I borrow these? So I was like, put it on, and it was like heaven. And then someone would come and hit me, and then Narasimha. The driver would tell me, here, go. So one of these temples, this beautiful temple, is called Halaldi. So I have to right click.
Yeah.
How do you do that? There it is.
Yeah,
pause. Okay. Thank you so much. Halaldi is a special area in Karnataka, very hidden. Now, when Varaha appeared on Earth, or when he appeared to save the Earth, he picked up Mother Earth with his tusks, so he pierced her in two places. So this river is called the Varadi River, and it's created by the tusk of where Varaha pierced. So in this river, Gautama Maharishi was doing tapasya, and he had a darshan of Yoga Narasimha some 1,500 years back. And one of his disciples, about 900 years back, built a temple for Yoga Lakshmi Narasimha right up top here. And you can see the river. It doesn't look like India, right? Like, it doesn't. It's transparent, like turquoise blue, like a beach in Greece or something, like heaven. And when you bathe in it, it's considered, it removes all your sins and everything. So this deity is very special because, there we go. So this Brahmin here, when I went, he wouldn't let me in the temple because I was a white dude. So he wouldn't let me go inside to see him. So then the whole entire group of trustees and so on, they all came. And they said I had to go bathe in the Varaldi River first, me and my photographer. And we had no change of clothes, so we just hopped in with... And then they let us in, and they started telling us the history of how he was found in the all these beautiful Narasimha Bhaktas. One man's a big businessman, and this is Lakshmi Yoga Narasimhan, and this is in my first book. But what's so awesome about him is Lakshmi, you see how she has her legs kind of just up on him, her whole... She's completely on him, holding him, and only looking at him. And he's actually looking at her. He's not looking at us. It's a very unusual form. So, you know, this is the darshan he gave to his devotee and the king, apparently, who had this deity carved. And this deity got lost. The bank of the river where he used to be on fell into the river. So he was lost for hundreds of years. And then another king had a vision, and he went to bathe in this sacred spot of the Varadi River, and there was Yoga Narasimha. The river was so low, and Narasimha was sticking out, so then he reinstalled him in this new temple. So that was pretty awesome. And it was, you see how he has the third eye as well? This is the Utsava they take out on procession. And let's see if this computer seems like it's... having issues. And you see, she's looking at him, and he's actually looking at her, and he's smiling, you know, and with the Yogapata and that band, like I said yesterday, all the demigods reside there. Sorry, the computer's a little bit slow. This is just some different perspective from my book, because I can show a lot more photos now, you see. And this was for after the Abhishekam, then they offered the kumkum. One of my favorite deities. Kasa, I didn't realize I had this many photos, sorry. Oh, and this is another Utsava. He's on a pillar, and the Brahmin, I saw the deity. Before he could say, "Don't touch," I already had him in my hand. And then, because he was kind of sitting at the side, I was like, "Why isn't he in there?" So I picked him up, got this shot, and then handed him to the Pujari and said, "Put him on the altar. Why isn't he in there?" I didn't realize there was a story why he wasn't in there, but that was my enthusiasm when I was younger. And they built a whole new temple because the temple was completely dilapidated and destroyed and... So this is what I was driving at the time, because I know how to, that was the first place I learned to drive was India. I was very young. So I drive like an Indian on drugs, because I was, you know, in India it's who goes first gets, so if there's a truck coming and there's only 2 inches of room, the truck will stop because you've made it. So I did a lot of risks, and my photographer, he refused, his wife refused to let him come with me on the second book tour. She refused. I was like, "You don't have kids, what's the big deal?" Like, you know, it doesn't matter if he dies. He's like, "You don't have any family." Like, she refused, cursed me and everything. Like, because he came back with like gray hairs, and he's Russian, you know, and Russians... They like to follow the rules, and I don't. So I was driving, and Druva, Druva, and like other words in Russian I didn't understand. And I wouldn't let his wife, he didn't have a phone, so she would call me, and I would, "Who's that?" "I don't know, some random number." Or I'd be like, "Hey, oh, hey, Rasa, everything's great, we're just going into a temple, he sends his love, bye." Anyway. It was funny. Holahaluhu is a really, I was trying to find this temple for about 12, 15 years. I had heard, that's what would happen. I would also hear from someone, a Brahmin, my cousin's nephew's uncle's wife's sister's brother is a Pujari in Gujarat or Amda or somewhere in Andhra, and I would write it down, or they would write it in the local language, and sometimes I would forget, and then I'd have a piece of paper and I would show someone years later. So this was one of those instances. And this place is so awesome because the kids are the boss. And when I got there, they speak a little more English than their parents, than the pujaris. So they were like, "Why are you here?" I was like, "I'm here to see Narasimha." "Oh, you're here to see our Narasimha. He is ours. Come, we will show you him." And they were like, "He is our father, our Baba." And they were so good. They brought me in the temple, and they just walked right on the altar and started like touching him and like putting their hands on his shoulder. And like, I'm like, "What?" And then, of course, the pujaris came in and they started yelling at them. "Ah!" And then the kids like ran out. But the kids had me convinced that they were like the boss. There, that you see? Totally the boss. Like, this is our temple. And it was really fun. But it was amazing how they held my hands and the photographer. And they were like, I had to take this before they let me in. And really sweet, and they all Narasimha Bhaktas, totally convinced, you know, that he's their protector. You see the bells? They took the bells and they're like playing with them, and the temple was wide open. I was shocked. So this form of Lakshmi Narasimha, Sri Devi Bhu Devi is there, and I can't stand when they address them because you don't see the magnificence of the form. And but it's unusual because Sri Devi and Bhu Devi are there. It's very rare. Mother Earth, right? And, Are, what's going on? I didn't touch anything? Okay. Scary stuff. So, oh.
I think the pictures are just such a high resolution.
Yeah, true. Okay, stay. And, I'll just click it and leave it. Yeah, so after, oh. Yeah, look at him. Yeah, he's far out, right? And see how she's kind of looking over towards him rather than, yeah. Ah, this is another nice one. A cave temple. Ugra Narasimha. Funny, they call him Sri Lakshmi Narasimha, and the deity's like tearing Hiranyakashipu apart. So I was telling the Brahmin, really sweet guy, I said, what's up with this Lakshmi Narasimha business? Like, he's Ugra, you know? And when I got in there, it's a beautiful temple, and then you just see this hole on the side, and it goes extremely like down into the earth. Sorry, I don't know what's going on, but try one more time. Stay. Maybe I'll just let it go and talk as it's going. And you go deep down, like 20, 30 feet into the ground, and this is in Maharashtra. And what the history was. A lot of these old temples, you see, there's no deity. And you go under the temple, and there's a temple underneath with Ugra Narasimha. And they would hide the deities because when the Muslims invaded, the first thing they did was smash the idols and temples. So look at him, so amazing. With his hands, this is the Brahmin. Selfie time. There's the deity in the back, you see? Oh. It's okay. Okay. We gotta pause this. This is awesome. This is another wild one where my photographer threatened me. Because the truck, we went out, we were searching for hours for this temple in the middle of a jungle, and he was found by a swami in the Madhva tradition. And he was in this kund, or pond, they call it. And a tiger, the swami was there in this area, so he would go there and collect his water for bathing every day. And there was this tiger in this area, and every time the swami came close, the tiger would, like he was guarding his kids or something. And one day the swami had a dream. It happened like this for years. The tiger would come every day, no matter what time the swami went. Tiger was there. And then the swami had a dream. Narasimha said, why aren't you, I'm trying to tell you, I'm here. Why don't you come get me? And then he got it, and he went the next day, and the tiger was gone. So he went in and he found this beautiful deity of Narsimha. The chronology, luckily the history is there. But to get to this temple, you have to drive up like a cliff mountain. You're not supposed to drive. I didn't know, but I drove up. And it was just rained. So the jeep started sliding down off the cliff. And Damodar's like saving himself, jumping out the car, you know, like screaming in the chanting the Nrisimha prayers. And I'm like trying to slam the brakes on, and it just hit this little rock and stopped. And so I just got out of the car and went up to the temple. I figured if the car, because I bought it, it was an old 1975 Tata Sumo. And it cost like $500. And I was like, ah, if it breaks, let's get another one. And he was going crazy, Damodar, and we heard this bell. Ding, 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 ding. And we kept walking up the hill, and there was this Brahmin doing puja of him. And what's unusual is if you look at his chakra, it's not faced to the side, it's facing forward, like it's ready to be thrown, which is another aspect of Yoga Narsimha, where, yes, he is in meditation, but he's always ready to protect his devotees. So, yeah, that was... And then this Brahmin was so nice. He could see my photographer was frazzled. So he gave prasad, and he invited us to his house. Some of the best mini idlis, they call them in dosas. These little tiny idlis, like this big. And then he said, do you want to see any other Narsimha temples? And I was like, of course. And Damodar wanted to go back home. I said, well, you can catch a bus back to here, there, and then get back to there and then catch a flight home, but I'm going with this guy. And then he gave in, of course. This is the Utsava of that deity. And this Brahmin was very special, actually. He was extremely kind. Yeah. So a lot of these small deities have been stolen. So Narsimha, in his iconography, all these museums and around the world, their most prized possession of Hindu iconography is Narsimha, because he's the rarest and most sought after from collectors. Like recently I saw in an auction, small Narsimha like this sold for like £700,000. And like he's very sought after by big collectors of iconography. So this, it was such a shock to see an idol, an Utsava idol still there. And I don't believe he's the original one. Yeah, and this is the lion Narsimha I spoke about yesterday. So this one was worshipped by the farmers, the forest dwellers, the tribals, the tantrics. And they weren't so wealthy, like the kings, the magistrates, the business people. So they couldn't afford to have some fancy deity carved. So they carved a lion. And they would generally put the Shankan chakra and the tilak, and they worshipped him as Narsimha. And before, this deity is, like, the archaeological department said, first century. That's very old, you know. And he's still sitting in there in the jungle, and how I found him was I was driving around looking for another temple of Chintamani Narsimha, and I saw this dude on a motorcycle. And I could tell he probably spoke English. He looked like a mafia guy. Rings, big gold chains, you know. So I knew he would know what's up. So I pulled up. I said, hey, you speak English? He's like, of course. I'm in the middle of nowhere in the jungle. Of course I speak English. So I was like, oh, amazing. I need your help. He said, what's going on? I said, I'm searching for Narsimha. This guy was a Muslim. A lot of Muslims helped me, actually, because they speak Hindi. So they could understand me when I spoke Hindi, and I was white, so they could take me to these temples because they had an excuse. I'm bringing him because he's a white guy. He needs help. So there was no rivalry between the Hindus and them. So he goes, oh, yeah, Narsimha. I know some places. I said, well, I'm looking for this one, Chintamani. He's like, but do you know about the lion? Narsimha. And I was just shocked that he was a Muslim and he knew about Narsimha and he knew about a lion, Narsimha. He said, you want me to take you there? He said, it's a little bit dangerous drive. And Damodar's hitting me. No, Dhruva, no, no. Tomorrow. It's getting late. No, no. And no. Me and this guy were, already going. He's like, just follow me. And he took off on his bike and we're following him. And we get to this, we're going down these crazy roads and he stops. And he's like, in there. And Damodar's like, Dhruva, Dhruva, what if he's going to kill us? I said, for what? A camera? I said, the guy has more gold than like the whole village put together on his neck. And so he just starts walking in the jungle. And I jump out of the jeep and ignore Damodar and start going in. And right when I got into the jungle, I felt this presence like, hey, where have you been? Like your dad. Like, I don't know, some of you, if you've ever snuck out when you were a teenager to meet a guy or a girl or go to a party you shouldn't go. So you come back home and mom or dad's sitting on the sofa and they turn the light on. It's this feeling of like, but you know they're your parents and they love you, but you're in trouble. Same feeling, because Narsimha's our father, he's also a divine father. So I felt like that, oh my God, what am I doing wrong? What have I? And then I see him. And this beautiful Muslim guy is just like touching him and cleaning him off and very, it was sweet actually. And then Damodar's screaming, but he comes in and we get some nice photos and it was really unique. And then the guy is sitting there telling me the history of this Hindu idol. And he goes, you want to see some more? There's more temples of Lion Narsimha, Chintamani Narsimha. And I was like, of course. And that was a really wild adventure, actually. Let's see if the next photo comes. This is a part of India a lot of people don't see. Really in the middle of nowhere, and right to the left, believe it or not, is one of my favorite oceans in India. It's northern, it's past Udupi, Marvante, and going north towards Gokarna in Goa. And it's so beautiful. And a lot of the Saptarishis, Madhva, Ramanuja, there's a lot of pastimes on this side of the country. Ram, Sita, Lakshman, Hanuman spent a lot of time there. The Pandavas, Krishna and Rukmini, when they came south from Gujarat. So there's a place called Apsara Kund. And if any of you have read the Mahabharata through and through, you would know that story of when Draupadi went to bathe and the crocodiles tried to grab her and get her. And Arjuna heard her scream and immediately came and with his bow killed these two crocodiles, and they, from their soul came out and there were Gandharvas saying, thank you for freeing us. We were cursed for being naughty in our last life. So this area, I hope it's him, is famous because there's five caves on this cliff. Yeah, you see there's the ocean. Really beautiful. And in these five caves, it's mentioned the Pandavas stayed there. And Yudhisthira worshipped Ugra Narsimha. And this form here, they say Yudhisthira worshipped this small form. See on the bottom? This was excavated by Madhvacharya himself. He dug this out of the ground and established this spot as the sacred Apsara Kund. And there's the waterfall's still there. The first time I went, it was crystal clear blue water. Now it's unfortunately a vacation destination for many young boys and girls. So it's not so clean anymore, but the temple is still there. And yeah, really awesome actually. And then this deity here, the Ugra, he's no longer there. I went there 3 months ago and they had found another deity, they excavated in the earth of yoga. It's a Yoga Narsimha yantra. So it's this round metal with like flames and all these inscriptions, tantric, heavy inscriptions from Narsimha. And Yoganarshama is just sitting in the center. I don't have any photos on this slideshow. I think I do on for tomorrow, but this deity, one day, he cemented in, and the pujari came to open him up. The deity was fallen over, broken. And those doors on the temple are very solid. Huge wooden doors with a big lock. Nobody broke in. And then that day, so the head Swami had a dream that this is not the form. The form is you have to find. So they excavated more and found this. Just fell over and broke, and they put him in the river. Because that's traditionally what you do if an idol is broken. You bury him or you put in the river. You know, me, I collect those because it shows the chronology of Nrsingha worship. And I found a few in rivers and like wild stuff. Ah, this one is nice. You see this figure here on the left with the big head and ears? So this is a yaksha. And yakshas are they're called the observers. There's yakshas and yakshinis. Yakshinis destroy, cut, kill, abuse. They move in this subtle realm. Yakshas, they will kind of bless you with a gift. You know, some people, maybe they win the lottery or something happens. Like they get a blessing, they believe, from a yaksha. But then yakshas also like to give and they like to take back. So this area is famous because these two yakshas were causing devastation in the villages, surrounding villages. And they prayed for protection from Narasimha. So Narasimha came and set them straight. And they became some of his greatest devotees. And they became almost the Dwarparas, like Jaya Vijaya, of entering into where his temple is. So you have to go and first ask for their permission before you can go see Halasi Yoga Narasimha. And the temple in the back is his temple. And we showed up at like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. And this area is famous because there's crazy leopards and elephants, wild elephants. And in India, they kill people all the time. I woke up the whole village and we had darshan at like 11:30 at night. They came with torches. And we went into the temple and like did a puja. It was one of the most... There's the two Brahmins, unfortunately. They passed away during COVID. But he's just magnificent. So we ended up staying in the house of a man who is the... He was the... Oops, I'll go slow now. He was one of the main archaeologists in India. Famous guy, doctor, PhD professor, in the middle of nowhere in this village of Halasi. Spoke perfect English, knew like 15 languages, and his kid brought us, he spoke English. Like when I was there, I was telling Damodar, "Oh, Dama, these people don't know any English, where are we going to stay? Probably has to sleep in the Jeep again." And this kid goes, "You can stay with us." And I was like, "Who said that?" He's like, "Over here." I was like, "You speak like, oh my, what, you speak perfect English." He's like, "Yeah, yeah, my dad's a professor." And he brought us to his dad, and his dad's, many of his theses he wrote were on Narasimha, the tribal aspects of Narasimha. This is really annoying. But I picked his brain all night until Damodar was sleeping in a room, right, on this cot bed, until I thought it was like someone was murdering a woman or something. He starts screaming, "Ah!" Runs out, doors... flying past me, you know. I said, "What the hell is going on?" "There's something under the bed." So I went in the room, put my flashlight, and this isn't the deity. So there was a gigantic king cobra, at least 15, 16 feet long, under the bed, coiled up. And Gopal's father comes, he goes, "Oh, that's where he went. He was in the bathroom this morning. We were wondering where he was." I was like, "You should have told me. Damodar hates snakes. Like, he's scared to death of snakes." Some people have that phobia, you know. Me, I grew up in Florida, so you pick them up and you just throw them out of the way. And like, and I thought that was the end. So Damodar ended up sleeping with the whole family in the front room. And I went to sleep. We got the cobra out, he left. And once I started to fall asleep, the whole floor started shaking. The windows were smashing back and forth. Damodar again comes running in my room on the bed. Dhruva! It was the wild elephants. They came and they were crashing through, eating the banana trees and ripping things out, you know? Wild. And apparently it was mating season, so they're even more crazy. So, hey, what's up? Jai Narasimha. Good to see you. And so we didn't sleep. And then the next morning we went and had darshan again, and then we left. And because of that amazing man, Gopal's father, I had so much. I found so many temples, even this last time. Because he doesn't have a cell phone. He refuses. Laptop, cell phone. Nope, not interested. He just reads books. And I went back to give him a gift for the first book. And he said, I've been waiting for you for years. I have so many temples to show you. And I was like, are you serious? Let's go. And this time I had a huge team, a videography team. And I had a huge photography team. So we had so documenting them was much nicer. This is cool. This is they consider like a tantric form of Stanu Narasimha. So you see how he's like squatting down? Like he jumped out of the pillar. Like a lion, what does a lion do? They don't like stand up and smash a pillar. They jump on you, right? And so this is their form. And I went to this village and Damodar and I, we immediately noticed very sad, like a negative energy in the village. You know, we feel energy as humans, good, bad. And I was like, what's going on, man? And so we started asking people, Narasimha Devasthanam? And they were like putting their heads down, like pointing. And then I finally get there and some kid brings us up this little mound and it's like he's in a tin shed. There's no temple. And I was like, this is insane. So we cleaned him, did Abhishek, and called the village heads and said, you got to worship him. That's why you're suffering. Something's going on here. I said, otherwise I'm taking him because you could lift him up and bring him. And I was like so tempted. And that was the only good thing Damodar was. He was like, yeah, take him, take him, take him. Constantly encouraging me to do those types of things. He told me one time, In Russian, they don't believe there's a thing as a thief. You, if you need something, take it. But if you want something, that's bad. You can't. Well, you have to need it. And I was like, Damodar, that doesn't. So he was like, I was like, I don't need. No. You need him. Need him. He was really funny, and it worked with him because many Brahmins would give him deities and shalagrams. Like he would convince them. So he got a lot of mercy on the trip, you know. But this one, the heads of the village, they were like, okay, we'll do it. And I gave them some money. And I went back there this last time, and it's a total different vibe. Like, total black and white. And it was really nice to see, and he's still there. And so being, of course, they wouldn't let me touch him, even though I touched him before. But and I don't know if any of you have been to Udupi. I mean, I know. But Udupi is one of my favorite. Well, you've been to Udupi as well. It's one of my favorite places in the world because of the culture, the Gaud Saraswat Brahmins plus the Madhvas and the traditional. So this is one of those traditional temples, you know. And he's kind of at the base of a little cliff. So when you're driving through the jungle, you just see like a roof. And he is called the god, they literally call him the god of the jungle, the lion protector of the jungle. And many, many years ago, it took me a long time to photograph him. Maybe like 15 years of convincing. It was always the old Brahmins, they wouldn't let me. But this time, that time when I was there, it was a young dude. And he was like a bodybuilder. He had muscles, and I was like, and he was very short. And he had Shiva. He was a Shaivite, because in a lot of these Nrisimha temples, the Shaivites worship him, because Narasimha said, if you want to get to me, you first have to worship him. Narsimha, he's Bhagawan. So this form, they say, is over 2,500 years old. And he's really small and amazing and so powerful. And there's nothing... Again, you see the chakra is turned facing you. It's a mission to get to him too, because Manipal, you have Udupi and then you have Manipal. Manipal has one of the best universities in the country, to becoming a doctor, dentist, these types of nurse. So it's a huge built-up place now, but then you have this untouched jungle. So you're in the jungle, but you can see the tips of these huge skyscrapers from the university, and like he's just sitting there, and they were going to buy, and these billionaires were trying to, you know, get that jungle, and every single one of them, something very, very bad happened. Car crash, somebody died, or some crazy thing happened, and then he came to them in dreams and said, no, this jungle belongs to me and my people. So he's there, and with his beautiful blue eyes. Oh, Banashankari. So Bangalore is a very unique metropolitan city, and there's tons of Narsingadev deities in Bangalore. And this is one of them. And I love him so much because, look, he has shells all over him and like the puja. And he's right in like a Grihastha community. Like a, literally, there's just beautiful houses and like apartments and then Narsimha temple. And it was an accident how I found him, actually. I was going to another Narsingha temple, and I just see in writing Narsimha, and then slam on the brakes, jump out. And I left the car. I didn't put the brake on, and it was on a hill. So luckily, Damodar was screaming, and I had to run back. And before I smashed into the Narsimha temple with the car. But this is, he's such a beautiful form, actually. I think the Brahmin was also... Ah, here we go. So all along the adventures, it was kind of like every day it was just like full-on experience. Like the utmost, how do you call it, high? People take intoxication or drugs to get high. And a lot of my friends that did that, they would explain their high to me, how it felt, this euphoria, this euphoric sense. And I was like, bro, I have that all day long. From the morning I wake till I go to bed. They're like, what do you mean? And, oh wait, this maybe is a... How do I see the other files in here? Can you show me? Do I press escape?
Yeah.
Oh no, here. Ah. Chintamani Narsimha. He's pretty wild looking, isn't he? Oh, hey Bhagawan. Come back. There he is. So he... This form is beautiful. He, Damodar was also good at sneaking photos. And I would distract the Brahmins. That was my... At first, it was hard for him. I was like, listen, Damo, some of these temples, they're going to say no. He said, well, that's okay. Well, I said, no. No doesn't mean no when it comes to this stuff. I'll distract them. You take the photos. And then the first time we did it, like, the Brahmin and I came back, and Damodar was standing there, like, all, like, he did something wrong. I was like, you gotta not act like you did something wrong, okay? You took the photos, good job. So this was one of them. The Brahmin was like, absolutely no photos. Don't even think about it. And I was like, but tell me the history. Do you have, like, a tablet somewhere? He's like, oh, in the back. Please show me. Damodar's, you know, I could hear it, click, 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 click. And I was like, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. One temple, there was a deity that was broken. It's called Shalagram in a place in Karnataka where Ramanuja spent a lot of time. The old deity broke and the new deity was installed, but they kept the old deity. The old deity is thousands of years old. And he was dressed. I told Damodar, I said, undress him, take a photo. I said, put the dress back exactly as it is. So I knew the Brahmin since he was a kid, right? I knew his father and father's father, three generations. They all passed away. So he was excited to see me. So it was a perfect opportunity for Damodarcha. So the Brahmin and I go in the temple, and he's showing me the new deity and like all the kavachas. Damodar's out there. And then I said, well, let's go do puja of the old deity first. And we go out there, and Damodar is sitting there. The club, he was completely wrong. Totally wrong, the way he put it back on. And he was standing there like he had, you know, like a child who got caught. And the Brahmin looks at him, looks at Narsimha, looks at him again, looks at me, and he just started shaking his head. And he's like, oh, God. You know, he didn't mind. Because he's a young guy, you know. And he knew that we were promoting the temple, so he was like, you could have just asked. I was like, well, you know. Apologize later. So that was funny, Damodar. So this Chintamani Narsimha is a really unique form. They very rarely show you him because he's so worn down, abstract, like almost like in a Hobalam, the Ugra Narsimha at the top, you know, the one in the cave? Same, when they take the armor off, it's very hard to, you can see little things. So this was gifted by a king in Karnataka. I was begging him to take them off, but he wouldn't, bribing everything. Take the cameras, you know, whatever. He wouldn't go for it. But this form is unusual because he's holding his leg up and then he's kind of holding the Chintamani flower. And this is Dhruva with Vishnu on the top, you see, in Yoga Narsimha. So they believe that Dhruva incarnated as not Vijayajendra Tirtha. It's not in my mind right now. He reincarnated to worship this form of Yoga Narsimha in this cave. And Hare Narsimha. So going here, this was another experience. I picked up a guy off the side of the road who said he would show me a Narsimha temple. He didn't speak hardly any English. He just knew Narsimha Devastanam, and he pointed. So I said, get in the car, come on, get in the Jeep. And he hops in, and we're driving on this kind of highway, and then he screams, Narsimha! And like I slam on the brakes, and it's very dangerous, wild stuff, and we showed up at this cave temple. And this temple's famous for this Narsimha, and it's also famous for these, they're called, they're the men that dress in saris. So they're not what contemporary interesting society calls transgender. They worship a particular goddess who can only be worshipped by females. There's also temples where these gods can only be worshipped by males. So some women do the same. They put dhoti on. So it's acting and taking that position for that moment to worship this goddess. So they were there. They took a liking to Damodar very much. And hopefully this photo comes sometime soon. Should I press something? Or will I mess it up?
Press next.
Next. Come on. Well, anyways, he'll appear when he wants. So along, you know, one place was we ended up going Tirtha Mathur, and we showed up at 10 at night, pitch black, and right when we arrived at the front entrance of the temple, all the electricity in the village went out, pitch black. And then this little girl showed up. She came out of the house with a lamp, and she said, how can I help you? Little girl, Jyoti, her name was. And she goes, I said, we're here to see Narsimha. She said, oh, I was just going for my darshan, special night, late night darshan. They light 1,008 deepas. It's okay, we'll leave it here. Thank you so much. Well, thank you. Are? Are, here we go. Come on. Okay. Pause it, stay. Thank you very much. So I'll finish with Tirtha Mathur. So she comes out, Jyoti, very tiny. I said, what are you doing here? She said, I'm here to see God. What are you doing here? I was like, calm down. I'm here to see Narsimha. She said, okay, I'll take it. She had one of those kerosene lamps, like the old school. And she's walking me in Damodar, and along the way we notice there's all these idols on the ground, ancient wooden stone idols just lying like in rubble. And we get to this temple, and there's this chant, you know, Ugram Viramam Vishnam going on, and all these lamps. And the temple is 2,000 plus years old. But they surrounded it with a new temple to guard it from thieves. And then we go in there and I see him, this Yoga Narsimha. And it like blew my mind. And all these old people of the village and the young coming to offer prayers and a lamp. And then there was another section across from him that had tens and thousands of Shilas and hundreds of Nrisimha deities that were gifted to the temple by people who passed away. That's the tradition. And Damodar decided he needed one. So he was like, go distract them. I said, no way, buddy. Absolutely not. I said, just ask them. Trust me, ask them. So we asked Jyoti, and it just so happened that Jyoti's dad was one of the main priests. And I was telling her about the book, and she was studying philosophy or something in Bangalore. Smart girl. I said, look, Damodar, he needs Narsimha. Is there some way we can, you know, something? And they gave him a deity, a little Lakshmi Narsimha, very old deity of Lakshmi, and a couple of shalagrams. And they said, why don't you stay in the temple guest house? Okay. So we walked to the temple guest house, and it was all open. There was no... It was just outside, and with a roof, four pillars, and like a couple of straw beds. And then her father and the other Brahmins start coming with sticks, hitting the floor and hitting the sides of the pillars. They're like, what are they doing? And Damodar, oh, they must be warding off any evil spirits. I knew they weren't. And Jyoti said, oh, there was a big, huge cobra here this morning on the bed. And they're just trying to see if he's still here. And by that time, Damodar was already back in the car. He was like, whoop, I'm out of here. And I was like, well, they're like, what's wrong? Where did he go? I said, some problem with snakes. And that night, we had to drive to Goa. Oh, that's another story. But anyways, this temple is awesome because I was searching for this temple all day. And I couldn't find this temple. I heard about it. We ended up going to two villages which had the same name, same spelling, within a 100-kilometer circumference. But it was like mountainous terrain. So finally one guy around 10 o'clock at night says, oh yeah, Nrisimha's up there on that hill. And I was like, yeah, so happy. I think that day Damodar had like a Sprite, no, 7-Up and some bananas. So he was really, me, I could go for days, weeks without food. And we start driving up this mountain and there's not a soul. And it's a zigzag road. And we get to the top. And immediately I feel this presence. I just interrupted something, a ceremony. Something sacred's happening here. Damodar didn't like it. And I could see clearly all the doors in the temple were wide open and all the lights were on. But there wasn't a soul. And I opened the door. There was a flat parking area. And Damodar said, I'm not coming, Dhruva. This doesn't feel good. I said, okay. And when I opened the door was slammed shut. And then I had this idea that there's a procession. Come to the procession. I heard these bells and stuff going on. I thought, maybe it's in the back of the temple. I'll just go check it out. And I went to the front of the temple, and it was Bhairavi, very, very dangerous. Kali, Durga, Shiva, and Yajna Purush. And Agni, all in these heavy, heavy, terrifying forms. There was no Nrisimha. So I went inside, nobody's there. I offered my obeisances, but still I could feel like there was a festival happening. And I went out and did circumambulation of the temple, and behind the temple, on this ledge, was this gigantic python. This area of India, there's a lot of pythons. Huge, 15 foot plus. And his head was just sleeping, and I was like, whoa! I had my little flashlight. And he just kind of put his head over and looked at me and just went back. So I was like, okay, no, I better make sure Damodar's still in the car. So I went back around, he was already out of the car coming. He's like, Drew, we gotta go. So we rushed back in the car, took off, went down the hill, and as we got down the hill, there was thousands of people cooking a feast, celebrating. And then we started driving, and I was really bummed. By then, it's like 11:30, 12 at night. Like, I didn't see Narasimha today. This is, like, really bad. And we're driving through this village. Everybody's totally asleep. The only lights that are on is this one here and this temple light, and then this gigantic banyan tree. And I'm driving, and Damodar's already falling asleep, practically asleep, and I'm driving. And I see Narasimha at the top. You see Ugra Narasimha? And I said, Narasimha! I slammed on the brakes, and I just ran to the temple, and it was wide open. And, yeah, let's see, hopefully, Jai Narasimha. This very tribal form that was found, okay, whew, that's the top of the temple, yeah. Pretty ferocious looking. And there was all these people sleeping under the trees, because it was kind of cool, starting to cool down, you know. And then I woke them all up. A big crowd came. And I said, where's the pujari? Pujari was eating dinner at midnight. I said, I went right to his house. He's like literally eating. And I said, Swami, Darshan. Darshan, Swami. And he was like, first, I said, no, Dar, please. I like manipulated the poor guy out of his dinner. And at midnight, I have you. And he brought us in to have Darshan of this wild Ugra Narasimha. Look at Hiranyakashipu, he's looking at us. See that? He's smiling. He's on the left. You see? See? Yeah, yeah. See him? He's there, like, looking at you. He's in bliss. Yeah, he's in kind of an ecstasy. He's freed now. So, and it's such unusual features. So he was found in the field. They were plowing the field with a bullock cart. And the big knife that they go into the ground kind of plowed him up. And then the local heads of the village had the same dream. Narasimha said, you must establish a temple for me. This village is mine. These people are my devotees. So they made this temple. So that was really far out. Yeah, you see him, how he's looking? And you see the bottom one of Nrisimhadeva's hands, or see the nails? Those are like nails. That's wild. They're holding him up as he's tearing him. So that was far out. That was a good night. And a very, very special temple that they wouldn't allow me to take photos, because there's a very in iconography in the Jai Shri Panchatattva Shri Nrisimhadeva Bhagavan Ki Jai. In the Vaikanasa Agamas or the Shilpa Shastras, there's a form of Bhagavan you can make out of bones, out of hair, out of actually, it's not prescribed anymore. It's very difficult to do. But this temple, yeah, he's made out of like human skin, bones. It's an extremely rare tantric Lakshmi Narasimha temple, so they wouldn't let me take photos beyond that arch. Or maybe I have one. I snuck one or two. They're literally in the middle of nowhere, but some of you might remember this from my book, Gulante Yoga Narasimha. He was found in the jungle. That Swami, a couple hundred years back, was going to bathe in one of the many, and he heard this roar, you know, like a lion was really upset. And all his disciples took off. Swami, Swami. And he stayed with a couple of his... He said, I'm going to go seek this out. And he ended up going up to this little mountain cave, and he walked in and he walked out with his deity. And that Brahmin is still there, and he has two daughters. I knew them when they were really young. They're also big Narasimha, addicted to Narasimha. And the main thing was the Narasimha warned them, my worship should never stop. Like I spoke yesterday, consistency. Shravana Vishnu, offer something, but it should be consistent. The Brahmin that took over, he was like a businessman, so he would come and do puja every now and again, but you know. And one day he came back and there was a tiger waiting for him in front of the altar that attacked him. and like tore his leg up pretty good, but didn't kill him. And then he understood, so he gave up everything, dedicated his life to Narasimha, and he's still there. And this is also on the way to Apsara Kund, past Udupi. Oh, look at them. Look at him, huh? Doesn't he look like he's looking right at you? Like, wow. This deity was worshipped by Ramanuja. Ramanuja's, it's believed, it's said that this is the spot where he sat and chanted the Narasimha Kavach. Or excuse me, the 108 names of Narasimha sitting in front of this deity. And then the deity opened his eyes and looked at him. So then they have this tradition of painting the eyes where you can kind of be sitting there and he's kind of looking at you, sitting here, he's looking at you. So very, very beautiful form. And I arrived on the day that head Brahmin's wife she passed away a year earlier, so he was doing a special ceremony. And he invited us right into the inner sanctum where it's believed Ramanuja sat. There's a lotus flower carved. And he put us there and he chanted the 108 names. One of the most ecstatic experiences of my life because it was such bhav. Come. Ah. So sometimes this is another example of what I would see. I don't know what the heck that says. It says Narasimha Temple. Narasimha Swami Devasthan or something. But see the lion? So I'd be driving. At first, Damodar didn't get it. I'd be like, there's a Nrisimhadeva temple. And there'd be like a poster of a lion or a face or something and an arrow. So that was one of the experiences. This is where the temple where they made him out of bone and all that tantric stuff. And I was driving to another temple and that's what I saw. And this is what I experienced a lot. See how the temple is completely dilapidated? But then the guy next door has a posh house and a nice scooter. So these temples are fallen into ruin, a lot of them. And I spent a lot of years trying to renovate and get people to be aware of the heritage. And so you'd go into this temple and there'd be an ancient deity of Narasimha. This one, the deity was stolen, so it was empty. And then we're back to the Varadhi River. And that might be the end, I think. Ah! So this is just a little sample of my adventures. And then along the way, obviously, the people. This was earlier, so then as I got older, it was the people, the kids, men, women, old people, that had this love for Narasimha that I started gravitating. I would see the hang out with the people first, and then I would go have darshan. Whereas before, when I was younger, it would be darshan. Me and him. And then I would see the people. You know, it gave me a lot more of a realization because, in a sense, he lives through his people. So when you hear the stories, that artist, I don't know if she's here today. What's her name? Yeah. Is she here today or no? No. Anyways, yesterday her story was so amazing. And I'm sure more of you have stories about this, of how Narasimha maybe gave you a vision or whatever. Some of them seem far out, but every place I went, someone had that story. Oh, Bhagavan saved me. Oh, one time there was a cobra or something. Or, you know, my son fell down into the river and, you know, Narasimha picked it. Wild stuff. And to doubt it is, for me, at first I was like, oh, maybe they're making it up or something. Because a lot of the stories of the temples they would make up, you know? Narasimhadev appeared here. There's a kund. This kund gives you moksha. Removes all your sins. And there's a pillar over there, somewhere, you know, like a rock. He appeared from this rock. So I was very, a little skeptical, you know, because people do make up stuff. It's natural, like they want to be cool. But the stories, when I started hearing from the kids, how Narasimha saved them, or he came to them in a dream, then I started being like, whoa. And then the moms, who were like in kitchens cooking, or they went out to get the firewood, and like there was a tiger there. And then they were like, Narasimha! And the tiger like was shocked in fear, and like got down and was like, and then ran away. So all these experiences, you know. and stories kind of blew my mind. Even in ISKCON, there's so many stories that people have, either worshipping Narasimha, Shalagrams or deities. So, yeah. Anybody care to share anything? Paul?
I get one ugra, a red shalagram.
Oh, you got a red ugra.
Yeah, my wife, she, first day,
yeah,
when we get, she almost get killed. So, like, this happened with two ugras. And then, but next day, everything is back to normal. So you just feel, when the Lord comes, especially like ugra forms, they want to first establish that they're the boss. Mm-hmm. Then everything go back to normal.
Wow. Bala's wow. But he's the Shalagram Acharya. And he was explaining how he got these red chilas, you know, which are generally tawny red. This color is not, how do you say, Grihasthas should mostly avoid these. Like he said, his wife was almost killed.
No, but see, when you show more, it's different.
Yeah.
Like you were telling yesterday, you were telling yesterday, I don't know how to do it. Okay, you were telling yesterday about worshipping ugra shilas. So basically, the main problem is if you have one, and if you put it like pradhan. But in our case, we have many.
Many. Oh.
So then anyway, already is heavy vibration.
Yeah.
So then, but then it's also, especially if you are married, the thing is, if wife can handle.
Yeah.
Because she's, Nishinga, he protects his pujari, so basically all vibration goes to the life because he's the energy.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, he, that's true. I've seen it. There's a few, one man, his wife, he believes, not that Nishinga killed her, but he lost her because of his attachment to the Ugra Nishinga Shila he was worshipping. And I begged him for years. I was like, hey, just do Lakshmi Nishinga for a little while. You know, and she got in one accident, paralyzed, four accidents she got in, and then unfortunately she left, but he eventually gave up, and then now he has Lakshmi Narasimha. But like you said, if there is a lot of Shilas, and also worshipping them as Keshava, Krishna, Govinda.
You don't do particularly meditation.
Yeah,
Ugra.
Yeah.
And also if you feel scared, it's different.
Yeah, it's true.
If you don't feel scared, then it's not a problem.
Yeah.
Because he's not there to kill you.
No, of course not. He's not there. He's there to help you. But sometimes Grihasthas, the obstacle is the patni, the wife. So, you know, like, I was saying, sometimes the obstacle for a man, a Grihastha, can be his wife. So then, we don't know. Maybe Narasimha removes her because she's... I've seen many cases like this. I don't know. It's more speculation, but I think if you're both in it and very determined to worship these and stay consistent, then I don't think there's a problem. But that's the problem, is being consistent and finding a wife who shares the same passion, you know, wants to cook for the Shalagrams or idol, wants to do seva, you know. It's very important. So I think if you're on the same page, Narasimha definitely protects you.
My experience is just maybe a little bit, for example.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a little hard for example, but it's like when you go on the street, somebody who's scared of dogs,
yeah,
they smell the fear.
Of course.
So they get more powerful, they get like more aggressive. But if you don't have fear, then they also don't get completely cool. So it's, I don't know, somewhere that I feel like in beginning I get first ugra, then it's like, I don't know if you have experience, some shilas they are,
yeah,
they do shaligram puja, then it's like some shaligrams, they are very aggressive. Means during puja is the vibration, after you stop puja, put them to sleep, everything cool down.
Yeah.
But it's not all like that.
Yeah, it's true.
So some, they don't stop. Even after complete puja, is still like...
Still the energy is there, yeah.
So if you feel scared of that, then get more.
Yeah, because it's him. I always tell people, Shalagram is Bhagawan. He's there. Whereas the idol, he can come and go. If he doesn't feel it, okay, I'll go until someone comes and wants to worship me with love. But Shalagram Shila, he's there, he's present, he's like, wow, you know. Well, that's awesome. Anybody else have anything to share? Experiences, visions of Narasimha?
I can share one nice experience.
The mic.
I was thinking about it when we had the Yagya. In Goloka Dham we had a volunteer program and new people would come, and it's like people who have no connection with Krishna consciousness, and maybe some of them they never heard, they just came to spiritual community. And I was trying like to make that it's not a culture shock for them. And there was a Nisimha Yagya at one day, and some volunteers went, and it was really like, when we were chanting, it was really like these men were like, it was really like,
powerful.
And 108 times, it was very powerful. And I was sitting there and I was so scared, like, what will this girl say? Like, it's, and like, Nisimha there and this form and everything. And then later I went to one girl, and she's really like blonde hair and very artistic and very gentle. And I asked her, like, so how was this program for you? Mm-hmm. And she said, it was so amazing. It will be next time. And she went to the pujaris and like asking questions. So it was like so amazing.
Wow.
How people can react.
Yeah, that form of him. My friend Jayananda, he has this rock band called the Cro-Mags. Well, it's not rock, it's like death metal or something, you know, crazy stuff. So his logo was Narasimha, that Ugra Narasimha. So he'd be on stage, and the whole background would be Ugra Narasimha, and these people are like, rah, 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 rah. And like, I think there was maybe Baladev knows, there was a European death metal band that did a Narasimha Dave. Do you remember? You don't? I heard it one time. He's not a devotee anymore, but they sent it to, I think I was with maybe Shivaram, somebody, Swami, and they got this CD, and they put it on, and it was like, Narasimha Dave, da, 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 da. And I was like, oh my God, this is awesome. And Maharaj was like, turn it off. And I always wanted to know. So this Jayananda guy, yeah, he'd get on stage, and he would start doing like this crazy, if you don't surrender, like all this wild stuff. And these people loved it. And sometimes I'd travel, or, you know, I had friends that were into music, and they'd be like, oh man, I think it's called hardcore, his style. So they'd be into hardcore, and they'd be like, man, the best band is the Cro-Mags. Man, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's Jayananda, that's my buddy. Not like my brother, he's a crazy Narasimha guy too. They're like, you know him? Like he's a, you know, crazy Narasimha. So he also influenced another guy called Russ, who's a friend of mine, older gentleman. I'm sure, I don't think you guys are into fashion labels or anything, but he's very famous in the fashion world, a brand called Sure, which is Russ backwards. And he has connections with all these rappers, even today. And every Narasimha Dave, he writes me. He's like, it's his day, man. And he'll post it. He's got millions of followers. So he did a brand of Narasimha on like, and he had these rappers wearing the Jadarani's painting of Ugra Narasimha. And like, and he was like, that's the dude, he's the protector. That's my father. And Russ is like a vegan, vegetarian, hardcore vegan, kind of a believer, but in his own world, and still to this day, yeah, he writes me on Narasimha Dave, if he doesn't forget it. And he's like, it's his day, man. So people have these far out connections, you know, like she was saying about her friend. And I noticed that as well. Like when I was a second generation that would always have my friends who stayed with me come to Mangalartik. And then if I stayed with them, I'd have to go to their church. So whether it's Baptist, Presbyterian, or whatever, or synagogue, or I had a lot of friends growing up. So that was the deal. If they stay with us, they go to Mangalartik, Dodi. If I stayed with them, I was at church. So it was a nice mix. And they would all say the same thing, like, they'd just be looking at the Ugra Nisringa painting the whole time. They'd be like, who is that? Like, he's just so awesome. What does he do? I was like, well, it's quite evident what he does. He's removes problems, you know? So even with Indradumna, I think I was with him, Indradumna Swami, in the Polish tour when I was serving him. I was a servant a long time. God, it's a long time ago. There was these skinheads. They were wild in Poland at the time, and they didn't like Hare Krishnas. They were radicalists, like nationalists, you know, like how keep Poland white, you know, don't let the, I don't know, other countries in or whatever. So you had these white dudes from America, you know, doing programs and like Hindu culture. And I was with Maharaj, and these guys came in with baseball bats and chains, and they started beating everybody, and like it was, they turned all the, cut the power, and they had tear gas. They tear gassed everybody. And I saw it. I could see it in advance. So I grabbed Maharaj because he's old. He was older, and he kind of froze. I grabbed him, and I started chanting, you know, Ugram Virama Vishnu. And I like put him on my shoulders. And the security guard, his disciples that were ex-KGB, crazy guys, they went out to get some food, prasad. So it was interesting how like it was set up like that, where he had nobody. I was there, and then we carried him, and I was like shaking him, Maharaj, Narsimhadev, and he like snapped out of it, and then he wanted to go back in and like fight. He was like 60 years old or something. I was like, are you crazy? And then Rakshana, these wild guys went in there and took care of them, but they were all, while they were fighting with them, they were like chanting the Narsimha prayer. I could hear it. They were like, Narsimhadev, and like fists fighting. It was a very interesting experience. But and then there was a mafia guy in Poland. I was with Maharaj behind. He was changing behind the stage, and this big mafia guy, fat dude, came with like five guys, big guys. And he spoke English. He said, you the leader? I said, yo, what's up? Hey, what's going on, man? He's like, I'm not here for you. I'm here for him. And I was like, oh boy, where's Rakshana? Where's Vikrata? When we need them. And he speaks to Maharaj. He said, why are you in my country? You must leave. Because apparently one of his daughters was dating a devotee who was a brahmachari, who shouldn't have been dating a woman. And she was converting to Hare Krishna, and he didn't like that. So he came to threaten. And immediately, like, I remember Maharaj and I started chanting, Ugram Bira Mahavishnam, Jaina Sringadev. And then out of nowhere, then Rakshana and Vaikuntha come flying in with like fists, and we got out of there. But when we chanted Sringadev, the mafia guy immediately was like, what's this like? You know, he was shocked. So that was an interesting story. In India, I was not like that. I was more fearless. I was crazy, challenging Narsimha to like hurt me or stop me from finding him. You know, even my parents, I had them, you know, now that I'm older, I realized they were always worried because I was kind of insane when I was young with the mission, you know, of what I wanted to do. And even Damodar, my poor photographer, like, you know, now he's got like anxiety and, you know, PTSD and stuff. I'm like, I don't think that was from me. But like, you know, it was wild. One night we came to this temple and there was a tiger loose. We showed up and pitch black. It was only 7 p.m. They don't close temples at 7 p.m. in India. I was like, what's going on here? So I get out of the car and I start screaming, and this guy comes, he's like, shh. And he calls us over, and so we run into the house, and he's like, shh, there's a tiger loose. It already attacked somebody. They're staying in the house. And I was like, nope, I gotta go see Narsimha. Is the temple open? But no, it's locked. I said, can I have the key? No, you can't go. It's dangerous. There was like 20 people in the house. And then of course the mom comes over. Did you eat? She was, that's what she was concerned about, if me and Damodar ate. I'll never forget her. And so the whole group came with us, and they brought sticks And again, they were hitting the floor when we were walking. And we get to the cave on the bank of the Krishna River. And there's this, you know, Nrsimhadeva with like 16 arms, Ugra Nrsimha, Swayambhuva deity. And they were very anxious and were taking photos. And then I back out of the temple. The light was on. And I didn't realize they had these bug seasons in India. And they literally, I was completely covered from head to toe in these bugs. Huge. Weird. And it didn't freak me out. I'm from Florida, there's so many bugs. Damodar didn't see, he had bugs all over him. So I was kind of like, okay, we should go, Dhamma. We should take off now. And then he saw, and that was it. He like dropped everything and ran to the van, or the jeep, screaming. And we closed everything up, and we got in the car, and we're driving away, and he's like pushing bugs off, and he jumps out of the car, and there's this huge roar, like a tiger. And I'm still driving. He's trying to get in the van. That was wild, this roar. And then we were driving through a preservation, a tiger elephant preservation that night to do a shortcut. He was totally asleep, and I was driving, and then a deer jumped across the road. We were going fast, like 20 kilometers an hour. And then this huge tiger jumps across the road and stops and just kind of looks like, what's this car doing in here? And then Damodar woke up. Luckily, the tiger took off. But yeah, we made it to the next temple. And yeah, wild, beautiful stuff like that. Does anyone have any questions or comments or anything they want to give? Anybody?
You should make a movie.
Make a movie. Yeah. Yeah, this last time I took the crew with me. We're doing like a documentary. It was pretty awesome. As the same thing, it was like, I'll distract them, you guys get the videos. But this time they opened the doors, because the first book helped so much. A lot of people, they didn't know what I was doing, some white dude who liked Nrsimha. And then when I came and showed them the book, they were like in tears, literally. And then they were like, how can we help you? What do you need? I was like, him. Photos, you, story, help me. And there was so, only one temple didn't let me out of like the 200 I visited this last trip. And it was for the better. Yeah, so we'll, hopefully some videos will come out soon. But hey.
So what about the book?
What about what? Which one, the first or the second? The first, tomorrow I'll have a couple, well I only have one with me. But you can make any, if you want to order it, just order it through me and then I'll ship it to the temple. The second book you can make pre-orders now, because the second book is 424 pages, so it's double the first. So it's going to be about $150. But if you order it now, it's like $108. And the first book's $108. So yeah, that I'm hoping in the next couple months the second book's done. But I keep getting more inspiration and adding unique, special things. Anything else? Happy, everybody? Thank you for your time. Tomorrow we'll do the second book. I'll give you a teeny glimpse of some of the adventures and some of the deities that'll be in that book. That's kind of like my life's work. And you'll see tomorrow. It's pretty awesome. So. Thank you guys so much for your time. I really appreciate you and hanging out with me and hearing about Nrsimha. And may he protect us always. Have a beautiful night. And oh,
he can see you now.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. So we'll do a nice Nrsimhadeva prayers, and then it'll finish off the evening. I'm sure you guys are hungry and want to get home or to bed.
Namaste Narasimha.
Namaste Narasimha.
La 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 la.
Thank you.